Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to actor Jalen Hall from the CW's dramatic series, All American. Lee Osorio, associate director from Out of Hand Theater, is here to chat about their upcoming Atlanta Theater Dinner. And Dr. Kevin Johnson and choreographer Dwight Roden are also here to chat about the Atlanta Ballet's Heartbeat, Gospel, Brubeck, and Rhythms of the City. We'll also have music from Nina Simone, John Legend, Bill Withers, and more. But first, here's Reva Blue with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille. I'm ready for my close-up.
480 Films is hosting auditions for musicians, singers, dancers, rappers, actors, and comedians on Saturday, February 22nd from 1 p.m. until 4 p.m. Attendees must bring headshots, resume, monologue, and music. 480 Films is located at 1755 The Exchange Southeast, Atlanta, Georgia 30339. In other related entertainment news, Revolt TV and the African American Film Critics Association are teaming up this February for a new season of Short and Fresh, a monthly anthology series featuring short films rooted in hip-hop culture and created by a diverse range of rising filmmakers. This season features Office Sweats, Royal Type, Know Me So Well, and Drive Slow. Go to WCLK.com to get more information about the films and more. And finally, BET's Sunday Best Season 10 auditions are being held next Saturday, February 15th at the House of Hope Church. The auditions will be filmed for television and aspiring contestants must be 18 years and older. Singer can also submit online at BET.com/Sunday Best no later than 5 p.m. on Monday, February 10th. Go to WCLK.com for more details. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the Atlanta Ballet, presenting Heartbeat, Gospel, Brubeck, and Rhythms of the City, February the 7th through the 9th and the 14th through the 15th at the Cobb Energy Center. This show features three works including Tuplet, Elemental Brubeck featuring the music of Dave Brubeck, and Sunrise Divine. Ticket information is available at AtlantaBallet.com.
This is Lisa Arendelle, and you're listening to Ray Cornelius on Upfront.
My first segment features child actor Jalen Hall. The star of the CW's All American stopped by to chat about his role on the popular series, as well as his current film, John Henry, and much more. Jalen Hall, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm doing just fine.
That's great.
You know, we always try to have the next generation of stars on this show, so I think you're child actor number three.
Really?
Lucky number three, yeah.
Awesome.
That I've had on the show. We've had some other young people on and just doing some amazing things. You're doing some great things.
Thank you.
And you're on this amazing show on the CW called All American.
All American.
But before we get into that, last weekend was a really big weekend for you. Not only was it Super Bowl weekend, but one of your commercials aired during that time with King James. We're talking about the electric GMC Hummer commercial in which you took part in that. So what was that whole experience like?
The entire experience getting on the set, it was like so lively, you know, you can just feel the professionalism, you know, the love in the air, you know. I think that being on that commercial, it was like a new kind of vibe to me, you know, and I really liked it.
Yeah.
And being in like the same category and the same name, you know, sentence with LeBron James.
I know.
Like, wow.
Did you get a chance to meet him?
Well, our schedules clashed, you know. They weren't, you know, exactly compatible. So I didn't get to meet him that day. But still, it was an honor. Of course, I am in a project with him coming out this year. So
can we talk about that? Because I thought I saw some stuff. No. Mom's shaking her head. Okay. I know what the project is, but our listeners don't know. And we'll have to bring them up to speed once we can talk about that. But let's talk about your show on the CW, All American. Let's talk about your character.
Dylan is the little brother of the main character, Spencer James. He is a loving brother and, may I say, comedic brother.
Okay.
He's always there to, you know, relieve people of, you know, their stress, you know, try to make them smile, laugh. He's always there for people.
Yeah. And what do you enjoy the most about playing him?
The love I get from my cast members, being in the scenes with them and, you know, feeling their energy, you know, being him is like kind of reflecting me, you know, I'm just like Dylan.
Yeah.
And I think the character is a great suit for me because I know how to play it down packed.
All right. And Mom, we got you here at the table. Introduce yourself as well, if you can.
Hi, I'm Emma McGowan.
And so when did you know that you had a child star? When did you know that he, you know, was not just, you know, because a lot of kids sometimes kind of act and do some things around the house. But when did you know that this was something that you could take seriously?
When Jalen was 4, Jalen used to always say, "Ma, I'm going to be on TV. Ma, I'm going to be on Disney." And I always said, yes, you are, baby. And I totally ignored Jalen. But when Jalen would come to the hair salon with me, everybody used to say, "Quit ignoring this kid. You have something." So I gave it a try.
Yeah.
I took him to Candy Burr's post on her Instagram. If you have a kid actor, blah, 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 you know, bring him to the showcase. And it was at AGI Entertainment.
Okay.
So I took Jalen.
Who I'm very familiar with. That's, oh my gosh.
Natasha.
Yes,
Natasha.
Yes, Garcia.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. So I took him to AGI Entertainment, and Natasha said, "Give me 6 months, and Jalen will be signed with an agent." And in 6 months, Jalen was signed with an agent.
Wow. Yeah. It's taking me back. I've known her for a very long time, her and her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And she has been doing phenomenal work here in the Atlanta area, presenting young people, singers, actors, dancers, triple threats, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so, yeah, absolutely. You know, as soon as you said that name, it's like, oh, yeah, yeah. So you come from a very good foundation because she really works on the entire person. Not just your talent, but just making sure that you're able to sustain this talent, being able to deal with all of the things that come with being famous. Let's talk about some of your other projects, because you also appeared in Shaft, and you've got another film that's out, or that came out last month, John Henry.
Yes.
Yeah, what was that like?
John Henry was actually a great role for me. I was super duper happy about that, because Terry Crews is one of my idols. I love how he involves his comedic response, you know, his love for acting and his love to stay fit. It shows and it symbolizes that you can do everything and still be good at all of it, you know?
Yeah.
And Ludacris, he was in that movie too, right? Meeting two legends, it was awesome. And to be side by side with them, working with them, has always been one of my dreams, you know? And seeing these greats act right beside me, learning from them, was a great thing for me, a great thing for my career. So I would say that movie is awesome.
So do you see yourself doing this long term?
Of course. I think this is, the passion for my life. I want to be out there doing this until I can't do it anymore. I want to be the next generation's Will Smith.
Wow. That's big. That's really big.
Yep.
And so, Mom, how have you, you know, you've taken him to the auditions, he's been doing these movies, but how have you as a parent, I guess, created somewhat of a balance so that he is not only doing this, but he's also enjoying his younger years?
It's a job. It's a job. But I make sure at the end of the day, Jalen is still a kid. He's still a kid. So when Jalen's not working on the weekend, he's at Sky Zone. He's somewhere going go-kart riding. And whenever we have a break, like now we're on hiatus. So we're here in Atlanta.
Okay.
This is home. We're here with our family.
Right.
So whenever he's not working, we're coming home.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, even though we're here at home, we're still working. Jalen is still auditioning every day while we're here.
And what advice would you give to someone out there that may have a young lady, a young man that, that really wants to do this?
Believe in your kids. Mm. Believe in your kids. You know, at first, me, I was like, Jalen, are you sure? But as I looked at Jalen, looked in his eyes, Jalen, he was for real about this. So I believed in my son. If you able to give up or travel with your kid, do so. Do so. If that's their passion, don't give up on your kids. Believe in them.
Yeah. Well, Jalen Hall, thank you for being a guest today on Upfront Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. CW's All-American airs on what nights?
Monday nights at 8 on the CW.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Of course.
Emory's annual Jazz Fest, a proud supporter of Jazz 91.9 WCLK programming, returns February 6th through the 8th with 2 days of masterclasses and 2 nights of jazz. Friday, February 7th, features saxophonist Bob Minser with the Gary Motley Trio. Saturday, February 8th, Emory Big Band closes out the festival with an evening of jazz classics. Information is available at schwartz.emory.edu.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There is so much hatred, war and poverty.
Wake up. This is Spike Lee. Listen to my man, Ray Cornelius, Upfront, 91.9 WCLK.
My second segment features actor turned associate artistic director Lee Osorio. The artist and activist is here to chat about Out of Hand Theater's upcoming Atlanta Theater Dinner, where creatives from the stage and beyond will facilitate a much needed conversation about race and equity in Atlanta's theater community. Well, Lee Osorio, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so we're really excited to have you here. You're part of a theater company that I had never heard of. Got a phone call from our good friend Cynthia Barker, who's an amazing actress. We've had her on the show. And she was like, hey, I want you to be a part of this amazing dinner. There's going to be this great conversation. And the theater company is Out of Hand Theater.
Yes.
Never heard of it. And so I'm looking on the website and I was like, immediately I said, okay, this is good stuff. This is really good stuff. But before we get into that, let's talk about your position with the theater company. You're the associate artistic director.
I am.
So how long have you been in that position?
Just a few months. I joined Out of Hand in July as a marketing director, and then our work really expanded after Decatur Dinners, which is actually the inspiration for the event on Monday.
Okay.
So we quickly bumped me up to associate artistic director with all the work that I was taking on. I'm really excited to be in that role.
Yeah. And so you've been on stage, but this is sort of your turn being behind the scenes, if you will.
Yeah. You know, I was on stage for a long time. And there's a lack of agency that you have as an actor. You don't get to pick the shows. You don't get to pick how they're directed. So I'm really excited to step into a role where I feel like I can facilitate some of these conversations that I've wanted to have for a while.
Yeah. So Monday night is a conversation that is titled An Equitable Dinner. Is that correct?
This is the Atlanta Theater Dinner, but it's inspired by the Equitable Dinner Project.
Okay. And let's talk about that, because these are dinners, potluck dinners, that bring together the Atlanta creatives, whether you're on stage or behind the scenes, to talk about issues within Atlanta's theater community. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of talk. I mean, this is Oscar weekend. There's been a lot of talk with the Oscars about the lack of diversity and inclusion. Not many African-American nominees, women directors being snubbed, women actors being snubbed, not enough women behind the scenes. And we find that that is also the same situation here in Atlanta on our stages. I believe you gave me a number as we were talking offline of 187 productions mm-hmm. that were done on stage here in Atlanta, and only 20 of those were directed by...
Written by Black playwrights.
Okay.
So 20 of the 187 productions, so about 10.8% were written by Black playwrights. One was written by an Asian American playwright, and one was written by a Latinx playwright. So those statistics are so far beneath the representation of people of color in our region.
Right.
So we're just sort of wanting to ask some questions about how we can improve those statistics.
So as someone who may be listening to the show and hearing those numbers, how then are, when theater companies, I guess, are preparing for their season, how are these productions picked? And is there in the, I guess, in the back of their mind, you know, let's make sure that we're including, you know, minority writers, playwrights? Is that always a thought, or is it just this is what we're going to pick from, or this is what we have to choose from, or are they not aware of the other, you know, playwrights that are out there?
Those
or shows?
Are great questions. Those are questions that we hope to ask.
Yeah.
Because, you know, normally what happens is the artistic director will be the person in charge of picking that season. In our city right now, most of those artistic directors are white. We have a huge thing to celebrate right now because John Carr was just announced as the new artistic director of Dad's Garage.
Okay.
He is only the second black artistic director of, you know, I would say one of the major theaters in town. Of course, there's Brenda Porter, who's out at Impact. There's Keith down at African Grove Theater. But of the major theaters, it's Jamil at True Colors and now John Carr at Dad's Garage. But other than that, it and Tony out at Aurora, Latinx, and is a huge leader in this. But there's just too few of the people who are actually picking the plays that are coming from that experience of being a person of color in America.
Yeah. And so what do you guys hope to accomplish with Monday's dinner?
Our hope is really just to spark the conversation, to get some thoughts going, to bring people together to ask these questions. If you don't know the plays, we have a whole room of people who know these playwrights of color that are doing incredible work. If you don't know how to attract those audiences, you have a whole room of people here that are willing to connect you with community partners to sort of get new people into your theater, which is what you say you want, but there's just not. Either the theaters feel like they don't have the resources financially because their subscribers will run away or their board members won't support it. Then we're here to help you recruit new board members. We're here to help you find new audiences. We want to make you successful theater companies. I think there's this perception that, oh, you just want to close all the theaters in town if we're not doing the work that you think is important. No, I want to create a theater community that is welcoming for every single person in Atlanta, regardless of their race or or economic status.
And so do you find, and I want to go back to, you mentioned that you were the marketing director for Out of Hand first, before you became our associate artistic director. How I guess, were the marketing efforts towards the minority audiences?
Yeah, so that, for us, all is born out of community partnerships. Every piece that we do is a community partnership, either with the civic institution or with an organization, a nonprofit that's working in the areas that we're addressing. So one great example is actually the inspiration for this project. Decatur Dinners happened on August 25th, 2019. It was born out of a conversation with the Decatur mom who was really upset about the disparities in discipline for children of color versus their white counterparts and what effect that was having on their academic performance. So she had hosted one of our shows, and after the show, we got in a talk, and there was another person that we'd invited there that hosts dinners. And so all together, the playwright of that play, Minka Wiltz, and this mom, and Out of Hand Theater, and a group called One Small Change, and Both and Partners, came up with this idea to host a series of dinner launched by art to get people talking. And that launched by art was important because I think there are a lot of dinners out there, but so often you wait for a person of color to share a really vulnerable and hard story to get that dinner kicked off. And that puts a lot of emotional labor on the person of color. So we took that away by having a piece of art and an actor in every location that we performed. To sort of start the evening off, give people something to respond to so it's not awkward when you're just like, let's talk about racism. You know, give them something to respond to. And for that event, we hired 70 black actors to go into 70 locations. There were 120 tables and 1,200 people across the city of Decatur came out for that event. And 40% of those were people of color. Because people want to have this conversation. There's just not a place that's bringing white and black and Asian American and Latinx people together to have this conversation. They're hungry for it, but we have to facilitate a space where they can do that. And that's what we're doing. So Cynthia was an actor for Decatur Dinners, and she said, man, we got to do this for the theater community. And that's how this event came about. Our goal initially was to have 100 people sign up. We've had 220 people sign up for Monday. It's a free event. All we ask is that you bring something to feed the community and that you bring a spirit that's going to feed our community, a spirit of curiosity, a spirit of wanting to learn, wanting to listen, and a spirit of courage to share your own personal experiences or the courage to sit back and take in what's coming at you without judgment, without getting defensive.
Well, Lee, thank you so much for being a guest today on Upfront. That is Lee Osorio from Out of Hand Theater. He's the associate artistic director. And they can get more information about future dinners as well as the new season for 2020 at your website.
Out of Hand Theater. That's T-E-A. I'm such a bad speller. T-H-E-A-T-E-R. So the E-R at the end. In September, we'll be hosting 500 tables of these conversations for 5,000 people across the city of Atlanta. So definitely go to our website, check it out. You can find out how to host there.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Georgia State's Rialto Center, presenting composer and trumpeter Terrence Blanchard and the E Collective. Saturday, February the 15th at 8 p.m., Blanchard will perform alongside guitarist Charles Altura, pianist Fabian Almazan, bassist David DJ Ginyard Jr., and drummer Oscar Seaton. The evening will also feature music from his latest projects and more. Ticket information is available at rialto.gsu.edu.
This is Coleman Domingo, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My last segment is about the Atlanta Ballet's newest production, Heartbeat, Gospel, Brubeck, and Rhythms of the City. Performances began this weekend at the Cobb Energy Center and continue next Friday, February 14th, and Saturday, February 15th. The show features three new works set to the iconic jazz sounds of Dave Brubeck, as well as classic gospel and Negro spirituals. Here to chat about the third work, Sunrise Divine, is famed choreographer Dwight Roden and Spelman College Glee Club director Dr. Kevin Johnson. The two are teaming up with Lydia Pace of the Anointed Pace Sisters and more for a toe-tapping, hand-clapping performance. Check out a portion of our conversation. So Sunrise Divine is the name of the piece that you guys both worked on. Who came up with that name? Where did that come from?
I named it. Yeah. I was, you know, the piece itself is really kind of like, I want to say the scenes and the set design and how it all looks is really kind of inspired by the sunrise. And, you know, there's always sunrise service. Mm. So there's a lot of sort of, you know, triggers that brought me to the whole idea about sunrise. And it's about being uplifted. The message of the piece is universality and love. All of us for the greater good, empathy, kindness, compassion. It's a piece that celebrates the human spirit. It certainly shows a little bit of our challenges and as people. But I felt like Sunrise just had this. It was just sort of the trigger for the name itself,
yeah,
and for the ballet itself. Wow. And Divine, it just has a bit of a southern twang to it. I don't know. That's what it's called.
I mean, it is.
It took me a long time to come up with the name.
Yeah.
Because the piece is very vibrant musically and this production, because we're going to have live music on the stage with the dancing. So we're bringing these worlds together. So it took me a while to come up with it, but here we are.
Yeah. And Dr. Johnson, this is going to feature gospel music, spirituals, Negro spirituals, all original music, which you had a hand in putting all of that together. It's going to feature the Spelman College Glee Club as well as Lydia Pace, an amazing voice of the Anointed Pace Sisters. So how did you come up with this, you know, this music?
Well, I got the commission. Gennady asked if I would be interested, and I was, first of all, yes. Then I circled back around to, like, what? What is this? And my first conversation with Dwight was, I was not interested in doing a stereotypical piece in gospel. You know, we weren't interested in that. But, and I'll just backtrack for like 30 seconds, in my collaborations in the artistic communities in Atlanta, which have been many, and primarily Atlanta Symphony.
Okay.
And as recently as in the fall when we sang with them on Mahler 8th Symphony. We've always, you know, had a spirit of working together. But this is a special piece because I have always felt that the African-American community had a gift, its giftedness. In Catholic Church, we used to say it, I think, before Pope Benedict changed it back. we used to celebrate, you know, We want to worship in our native genius. Native genius. That's where I'm getting at. Our native genius. So we bring, in my mind, I'm bringing to this project our native genius in music, which is vast, to the native genius of the dancers of the Atlanta Ballet, who perhaps culturally, whatever, in reality, whatever, don't have those experiences. So, I mean, I don't know what I was going to do. I was like, I'm working with who? Dwight? Yeah. Who is that guy? No. I looked up Dwight. I was like, see, I don't want to take too long, but it's turned into a spiritual thing for me, just the way it came about. You know, sometimes we strive to do things, you know, composers was all day long take this commission or even have agents out looking for commissions. This commission is just like, hey, come here, want to do this? And I've always felt things that would divinely inspire for me happen like that. There's no working at it. It's just like, here, this is the divine path. And so I think this is one of those. And this music has turned into that with when we start, done made my vow to the Lord. That's the key. Done made my vow to the Lord. That's the, and it came at the end. Isn't that interesting? It came at the end. Mm-hmm. But it's really the beginning. Done made my vow to the Lord. And black people know that's spiritual. And I'm never going to turn back. I will go. I shall go to see what the end's going to be. So that's the top. Then we take our prologue journey. And it's interesting because musically we fast forward into more contemporary beginning.
Pieces, yeah.
And you'll see, I mean, when you come. It's not stereotypical. And the prologue is... I mean, it's some, you know, it's not hip hop, but you know, and choral music for sure. Then we backtrack a little bit into this is the beauty of why it's spiritual, because now I go to my roots, to my dad, to Jubilee Quartet, led by my son, who's his grandpa's music.
Wow.
Gospel train.
Yeah, this is a moment, actually. Yeah. This is a musical moment and a historical moment, this Jubilee Quartet. So I'm very excited about that.
Mm-hmm. And so let me ask, so do you choreograph the moves first and then you try to sync the music with that, or is it all kind of done at the same time? How do you guys do that?
Yeah, this is a pointed question. No. Well, it you know, honestly, we had to get the playlist. Mm-hmm. We wanted to get the journey of what songs, the order.
Okay.
You know, like where do we start and where do we finish? And then what is that ride all in between? And we went back and forth. And it wasn't necessarily a struggle, but we both had our own ideas about things. But he kind of educated me a lot, to be honest, about, you know, sonically, like what we were going to hear. And then I wanted to make sure that we were on an emotional ride. I really want, you know, gospel music, you have to feel it, and you will. You will, because when you're sitting in your seat, it's not just about watching ballet anymore. It's about the music and the ballet together. This is truly a collaboration. The singers are present. You're going to see them. They're on, you know, they're there. They're part of the scene. The music is also in the pit, slightly raised. So this is like, it's like a big circle of energy. But to answer your question, because I just went all over the place.
No, you're fine.
Yes, the music kind of was set, and then I went into the studio. But then it was not finished because I was bugging him daily about, I need a different kind of arrangement here. Can we have stronger percussion? And he would say, well, why don't you think about this? And then we would go back and forth. And we somehow arrived to the final product.
Yes.
And I'm very happy with the playlist and the journey.
Check out the full conversation and get more information about Atlanta Ballet's Heartbeat at WCLK.com. Well, that'll do it for this week's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Jalen Hall, Lee Osorio, Dwight Roden, and Dr. Kevin Johnson. I'd also like to thank my engineer, Jami Wellman, and you. Please join us next week for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.